Well, we are starting the new sermon series and really excited about that. And we are diving into the Psalms. We're going to have some deeper look at some of the Psalms that we find in the Scriptures. And so the way that this series is set up is that over the next 10 weeks through the summer, we are going to look at selected Psalms. There'll be a number of different speakers here at the pulpit. I'll be away for some holidays, so we're having some of our lay people, and we'll have Pastor Jamal be a guest speaker on August 9th from Fresh Manna Church. He's going to come and bring the word to us. That's always a joy to have Pastor Jamal with us as well. So I think it's going to be a really meaningful series, and I'm really looking forward to walking through it with you. Well, today I have entitled my message, Living in the Blessing of God's Presence, and we're looking at Psalm 84. So if you have your Bibles along, those of you following along online, if you want to grab your Bible and turn over to Psalm 84, we'll have it up on the overhead as well. Let's listen together as I read Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob, Selah. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold for those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the person who trusts in you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word at Still Heights today, in Jesus' name. Well, many of us have summer songs that we've grown up with and that hold a special significance or a special place in our lives. For instance, I will always remember the song, Everything You Do, I Do It For You, by Canadian rocker Bryan Adams. And the reason why it's so memorable for me is that it was the first song that Juanita and I ever danced together. It was playing while we were dancing our first dance together on our first date at my university grad banquet. And we have been dancing together through life ever since, trying not to walk on each other's toes. Well, popular songs and even classics like Handel's Messiah or Be Thou My Vision, they can serve as meaningful chapter markers in our life story. However, I believe that Scripture can have a far more significant impact on our lives because, after all, it is the Word of God. It's God's special revelation to us to help us with life and faith. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit as he led man along to write and record the things of God. His word is living and active, the Scriptures tell us. He speaks to our lives. He speaks pastorally and he speaks authoritatively to us. God blesses us with his Scriptures. And we know God. We come to know God through the knowledge of the Gospels and the Scriptures. Well, today, as I mentioned, we're starting this new sermon series, Summer Psalms. And for centuries, the Psalms have been loved by people. People from many different backgrounds, people from different viewpoints. And I believe that's largely because the Psalms are very poetic. And poetry has a way of speaking to our hearts. And we embrace God's word with both our minds and our hearts. We learned about that in our series on 1 Peter about thinking clearly. But also our heart needs to receive the word of God, that it has to be a receptive seabed. And so through the poetic nature of the Psalms, after all, so many of them were ancient songs, there's just a way that the Psalms speak to our hearts in a very special way. They laugh, they sing, they weep, and they protest. And the Psalms cry out to us in our pain and in our fears, in our disappointments, in the joy and the sheer delight and excitement of life. The Psalms are right there with us in all those just myriad of emotions that we can go through as we live our lives. And the Psalms are not just these, like, you know, human folk songs that we can sing around the campfire, you know, like, country roads take me home, right? No, the Psalms, even though they probably were sung around many campfires through the centuries, they're far more impactful than just a folk song, because they are full of God's wisdom. God's wisdom. And they also, when sang in praise or prayed in a word of prayer, they have this power, because it's God's word, they just have this power to unlock the complexities of our human emotions, because things get confusing sometimes, and we have problems processing everything, and somehow through the Psalms, we identify with the psalmist, and it puts a handle on things for us, and then we're able to just enter into the presence of Jesus, where we can take all this jumble of emotions and different things that we're experiencing, and we can just lay them down at the precious nail-pierced feet of Jesus. And we find a deep peace and a renewal. Oh, that the word of the Lord renews our souls. Half the Psalms were written by King David. Others were written by choir leaders in Jerusalem. Several were written by Moses and King Solomon. And there are several other Psalms whose authors it's impossible to identify. And the whole book is this collection that's been put together by the ancient Hebrews in order that we might understand what the people of God have gone through and how they found their way through their troubles and into the presence of God, so that they may enjoy living in the presence and the blessing of God's presence. So in the Bible, there's a specific book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms there. Anybody memorize them all? No. But we have our favorites, don't we? But of those 150 Psalms, they're divided into five books. And throughout the Psalms, there's this beautiful Christological connection, that prophetically point the way to Christ in the midst of the Psalms. For instance, like Psalm 23, a very popular one. Most of us know this one, and we would recognize it if we heard it. The Lord is my shepherd. And in John 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In Psalm 2, we read about the sonship of Christ, and Hebrews 1 talks about that. And in Psalm 22, we have this amazing prophetic utterance about the scene of Jesus' crucifixion, that his hands and feet were pierced, his side was pierced. And so we have throughout the Psalms all these Christological connection points throughout the Psalms, so they're very applicable to our walk with Jesus. The Psalms are rich, they're prophetic road signs, so that we know which way to go on the road of life, and they lead us to, again, our suffering and our kingly Savior, Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, 11 of the Psalms that we have recorded for us are attributed to the sons of Korah, and there's a whole backstory there that I'm not going to go into this morning for sake of time, but the sons of Korah came out of the Levitical priesthood, and they served in the temple courts, helping to keep the things of the sanctuary in the ancient times in the Old Testament. And these sacred songs that the sons of Korah put together are, they're just full of gratitude and humility, and they just call out to our awesome and mighty God. They express a longing for God and a deeper devotion. And this is certainly the case in the psalm that we read, Psalm 84. It's just full of longing to be with God. Well, this brief psalm, this Psalm 84 that we're going to focus our attention on this morning, has three sections. And between each of the sections, it's divided by this word Selah. You see that in your Bible. And this is a literary device or some type of musical notation used by the psalmist, which indicates that the reader needs to just pause and to think about what they just heard. They need to pause or to rest. And the Amplified Bible, where the word Selah appears, the translators have added this phrase, pause and calmly think about it. Wow, that's some good advice for us today, isn't it? In the franticness of life, how we need to just pause and calmly think about things. So when we read this word Selah in Scripture, it's this beautiful poetic reminder that we should consider carefully the meaning of what we just heard in the Scriptures, and that it helps us to just lift our hearts upwards towards God as we consider these great truths that He has revealed to us through the Scriptures. So when we think about what it means to live in the blessing of God's presence, one of the things that we find in Psalm 84 is there's just this deep longing for the psalmist to be with God. And I think one of the reasons I love Psalm 84 so much is that God gave me, I'm going to call it a Selah moment, okay? A Selah moment. And it occurred one quiet summer evening at our home in Island Lake back in the year 2000. Boy, can you remember back that far? 2000. Well, Juanita and the kids happened to be out that evening, and I'm not sure where they were. They're out somewhere, and I was at home alone. And for many months, Juanita and I were seeking God's will as to whether I should attend seminary and study so that I could go into full-time ministry, or if I should continue on in my work as a forester. And so as I prayerfully read through Psalm 84 and meditated on the words of the psalmist, I was just struck by these themes of pilgrimage, the journey, and living in the blessing of God's presence. The psalm begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. Oh, how beautiful the dwelling place of the Lord is. My soul yearns and even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh, they cry out for the living God." Well, we have been away from this place of worship. We've been worshiping in our homes. But to come today into the church facility and to come into the sanctuary and just to be able to call out to God and say, "Lord God, I long to be with you. I long to be in your presence. Lord, my heart and my flesh, they cry out to you." And as I was reflecting on that, and I thought, man, I want to know God better. I want to experience His presence in greater and greater measures in my life. I want to know Him so that I can make Him known. And then verse 5 just seemed to kind of leap off the page at me. And it says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." The deep longing to be in God's presence expressed in the psalm seems to indicate that these sons of Korah, for some unstated reason, they're unable to return to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage, perhaps for a feast or to perform their priestly duties of worship at God's temple, where the glory of God's presence dwelt. That's the way it was in the Old Testament. God's presence, His Shekinah glory, dwelt in that inner sanctuary of the temple and the tabernacle, that place that's called the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament times, dwelt there. And so the psalmist, he almost sounds jealous, doesn't he, when he says, well, even the sparrows and the swallows, which are creatures of insignificance in the scriptures, even though we all love birds and we love seeing them in the summer, but often the sparrows and the swallows are referred to as creatures of insignificance. But even God loves them and cares for them, Jesus said. And so the psalmist says, the sparrows and the swallows, they've received the blessing of building their nest near the altar of the Lord. Oh, they can be there, but oh, I can't be. And so today, as followers of Jesus, the New Testament teaches us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's presence rests within our bodies. He dwells within our bodies through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and he also dwells among us as we meet in Jesus' name to worship, to serve, to pray, to fellowship. Then we encounter Christ in our midst. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when the fellowship of a church family is able to experience the fellowship of Christ together. And so that's why meeting together regularly as the church is such an essential part of our Christian faith. We experience together the blessing of God with us, God for us, and God in us. Well, another thing that we need to recognize when we are living in the blessing of God's presence is that there are those valleys that we got to go through, and there's those beautiful mountaintop experiences when we can stand upon the mountain. The psalmist shares the same thing in verses 6 and 7. He says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, these pilgrims are on the way to Jerusalem. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, the autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength until each of them appears before God in Zion, which is Jerusalem. But for us, we see that as the heavenly Jerusalem, that being heaven as our destination point as followers of Christ. So as I closed my eyes that evening and I was just meditating, yes, it's okay to meditate on God's word. And we need to do more of that, because then we embrace it more fully. We think about it. We allow it to take root in our minds, and we're able to just receive the fruit of God's word. And as we meditate on it and consider it deeply, we have a Selah moment like I was having back there at Island Lake. And as I was reflecting on all the blessings of God and that I had experienced through serving him over those 16 years leading up to that time, and then I considered the road ahead, and I thought, oh man, that's going to take a lot of pain, that's going to take a lot of resources. And as I started to think about all those challenges of resigning from my vocation and relocating to Edmonton and going to seminary at age 35, and which seems so young now, at the time I felt, man, I'm almost too old to do this. And anyways, age gives us perspective, doesn't it? It is the journey. So at age 35, and then we had this young family, and didn't have a steady income if I left my job. And then, as only the Holy Spirit can do, he seemed to take all these tangled up threads in my mind, and he just wove them together into this vision inspired by Psalm 84. And I call it my Selah moment. And this image came to my mind, and I've shared many times from the pulpit that I do really think in pictures often, and God gives me images. And in this particular image, in my mind, Juanita and I were fighting our way through this like jungle valley, and the undergrowth was so thick that we had to travel in single file, with Juanita was hanging onto my belt, and I was flailing away with this machete. It was like an action scene out of a movie. Indiana Jones and stuff like that. But so I was flailing away, and then we were exhausted from trying to work our way through this jungle, and we're just about ready to turn back, and I came down with the machete one more time, and the foliage fell to the ground, and an opening formed there, and I could see off in the distance this step-shaped mountain. And it was just with a tent camp right at the bottom of the base of the first step, and rising up from that first step were a series of steps ascending up the side of the mountain. And so reflecting further on this vision, I thought, wow, God is showing me that we need to keep proceeding in obedience to go to seminary. And the road to seminary will be like cutting through that jungle. But attending seminary, oh, it'll be like we'll be at that base camp, the tents. It'll be restful and relaxing. It's this temporary place, a place of equipping, a place of preparation. Well, that was the summer of 2000 that I listened to that summer psalm. And a year later, we moved to Landrum. The Lord led us to do that in South Edmonton. And we had three little children. Andrew wasn't around yet, so you probably wouldn't remember that, Andrew. And I started my studies at Taylor Seminary. And however, we soon learned that going to seminary was actually the jungle. welcome to the jungle. and we felt very overwhelmed and at times disillusioned about the journey we're on. Just be very honest with you. Folks, when we set our hearts on pilgrimage, we often have to go through the valley before we can stand on the mountain. We need to go through the valley before we stand on the mountain. And the Valley of Baca, which referred to here, is known in Scripture as the Valley of Balsam. Why would they call it the balsam? Is there a lot of balsam trees there? No, balsam trees have this unique feature that they exude sap, this fragrant sap, through the bark. And it looks like the tree is weeping. So if you're ever out in the forest, and we have balsam trees here in Alberta, and you happen to need to take a break, don't sit down on a balsam log, because you'll have sticky jeans on your backside. Don't do that. But so what they're saying here in the psalmist is that the psalmist is saying that this is the Valley of Balsam or the Valley of Tears. Well, we wept some tears during those first 3 years of seminary, yet it was also a place of blessing. It was a place where God gave us a tremendous witness with other families in the Lenjum Community League in Southwest Edmonton. And there's something about being having a young family. You just kind of naturally come together. Like you got to get through it together. You need friends. There's the joy, but it's just game on with the little ones. And so when you see some other parents, you naturally just kind of come together, right? And we participated in block parties together. Our kids were in school together. We did sports together. I coached some soccer. And we hosted the Alpha Course from our home. And we had some very precious friends and relationships over those 3 years. And it may have been a valley of tears at times and even semi-exhaustion, but it also became this place of blessing. It really became a place of blessing as we experienced God's provision and His presence. And so what has God put on your heart, a place of obedience that He's asking you to follow Him and to trust Him for the future? I encourage you to trust the Lord and to obey that calling and to search the Scriptures, to talk, to get godly counsel. But don't shrink back from those things, those points of decision, just because it looks challenging, just because the valley looks very dense and dark, doesn't mean that God can't and won't bring you through that valley to a place of strength in your relationship with Him. One of the most important lessons that I learned at seminary is Jesus is both Lord of the mountain and He's the Lord of the valley, and He is faithful no matter what our situation is. Our job, folks, is to keep our eyes fixed on Him and stay obedient to His calling on your life. Because when you deafen your ears to that calling, then it just becomes ritualistic, our walk. We get no traction. We don't have a sense of like pilgrimage, that God's calling us into something deeper. Well, the next thing that we learn when we live in the blessing of God's presence is that God blesses us to be a blessing. God blesses us to be a blessing. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the person who trusts in You. That's the way Psalm 84 ends. So living in the blessing of God's presence doesn't mean that God blesses our lives with just increased net worth. Okay? It's not health, wealth, prosperity, gospel. No, that's not what the blessing of God is about. He can do that very easily, and he may do that for you. But the main aspect of God's blessing is that he blesses our lives with both struggles and victories. Both struggles and victories become blessings of God because that brings authenticity. Our life and our witness rings with authenticity that we've gone through things. We got some scars, and we've come through to the other side, and we've experienced the faithfulness and the graciousness of our God amidst even all our flounderings and our mistakes. And yet God is faithful, and he brings us through these things. And then we can bring blessing and comfort to others. Pastor Mark Batterson, in his book called The Double Blessing, he refers to Abraham, how God blesses Abraham. You can read about that in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 2. And he blessed Abraham, why? So that he could be a blessing to the nations. And Christ fulfilled that ultimate blessing when he went to the cross and he rose from the grave. And that title blessing has been just rolling through planet Earth from generation to generation, from culture to culture. As the gospel's preached, the blessing of God comes to families, to individuals, to nations. So in Psalm 84, there's three times that the writer writes about being blessed by being in God's presence. The first time is in verse 4. And he says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." What a blessing it is to return to worship today and to be in these halls of worship, in this sanctuary. And the psalmist says, "I'd rather spend one day in your presence, O Lord, than a thousand elsewhere. Better is 1 mile traveled doing God's will than to travel a thousand miles to some exotic place that is outside of the plans and the will of God for your life." That doesn't mean we shouldn't travel. Don't get me wrong. Mine's just kind of hard to travel right now with COVID. But secondly, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. For even as we pass through this valley of Baca, God pours out his blessing on his people, and they become a refreshing pool for others to come and to drink from. Are other people drinking from your life? Is God pouring in? Is there an overflow of your life of blessing to others? If not, I think you need to ask God, "God, what, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing for others so that your name may be lifted up in my life." And on verse 12, we see, "Blessed is the person who trusts in the Lord Almighty. For no good thing does he withhold from those who seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. His favor and his honor are with them. God is a sun and a shield." Sometimes the path grows dark when we're walking for God and things become uncertain, but God's word is like a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path as we walk this pilgrim's highway. And also God is our shield. He defends us. He protects us. We've been praying as a staff for the whole congregation. Every week we pray that God would be a shield, that he would guard you from this COVID virus, and that God would provide for you, that he would be there with you, that he would allow you to walk in the wisdom and faith of his ways. And those themselves are a shield to us, because we reap what we sow. And when we sow to the Spirit, God walks with us, and there's blessing in that. Well, this past June, I guess we're in July now, aren't we? And marked 16 years that Juanita and I have been here with our kids. When we first came to serve Christ and the people of SHBC, and it has certainly been a journey. There's no doubt about it. And I think back to those tents in my Selah moment that I had, those tents at the base of the mountain. I'm reminded that this world is not our home, folks. It's not our home. We one day will appear in Zion. And on that happy day, on that glorious day, when we finally arrived in the halls of heaven, and we see the beauty of God's eternal temple and tabernacle. And it's just, there's not actually even a temple there. It's just God, just heaven. The heavenly Jerusalem is really like the temple. And we, like David, will say in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life, and now I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, that is our hope. That is our final destination. We will exclaim, O Lord Almighty, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Oh, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. No mind is conceived, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Still Heights, it's such a joy to welcome you back here today. And on behalf of the church elders and the pastoral team, let me say that we have missed worshiping with you in person, and we are so excited and we're so humbled to lead you as we continue to move through this valley of COVID and further up and deeper in to the extraordinary life that Christ has for us. May Jesus continue to be glorified here at SHBC as we keep living in the blessing of God's presence. The worship team, come on up at this time. Let's pray together. Well, Father, thank you for speaking to us through this psalm, Lord, that we are on a journey. And thank you, Jesus, that you're with us each step of the way. Thank you for your presence, God, that we can come into and that we can receive your blessing. So, Lord, I pray your blessing upon your people, God, gathered here in the building and those watching online. Father, thank you that you are our God.
To stand and worship with us.
For hear my
Well, as we are getting ready to be dismissed, just want to remind you to that we're going to let the parents with small children leave first after the benediction, those with, of you with any mobility concerns, and then I think we can just, we'll be able to file our way out in an orderly fashion. I don't need to give you any too many specific instructions. Other than we're encouraging you to do fellowship, meet with one another outside the building as we're getting ready for the 11 o'clock service. So thank you again for those things. Well, may you receive this blessing from the Lord from Numbers 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Go in his peace, still heights. God bless you. It's great to worship with you today. Amen.